Lads, in just over 2 weeks, the Republic of Ireland's opening Women's World Cup match against host Australia will take place July 20th. Stick that in your diary. Following their historic playoff victory over Scotland, the Republic of Ireland will compete for their first ever FIFA Women's World Cup 2023 in Australia and New Zealand. RTÉ Sport will broadcast every match of the FIFA Women's World Cup 2023 on television, on the RTÉ Player, and right here on 2FM, you will be able to catch all the Irish games. So we're very excited in 2FM. We're very much getting behind the women in green, and rightly so. And to tell us more, I'm delighted to be joined in studio by RTÉ journalist Samantha Librari, who is travelling to the FIFA's Women's World Cup 2023 for RTÉ and is also very excited because she is a keen sports fan, it says here. So first question, is that actually true? Are you a keen sports fan?
I am a big Shamrock Rovers fan.
Okay, yes.
How many times will I say it during the interview now? Count.
Okay, keep
play bingo.
Like a swear jar or something. We'll keep it, Jerry, how many times she can say Shamrock Rovers. Fair play to you. Okay, can I just ask you, what did Ireland's road to the World Cup, what did that look like?
Okay, well, there's been an Irish women's national team for 50 years, but I think the first time this team really came to public attention was about 6 years ago. You might remember back in 2017, they held a press conference in Liberty Hall and they threatened to go on strike over the terms and conditions at the time.
Okay.
And the standout image at that time was the girls describing how they had to go into the airport toilets to change out of their tracksuits and return them to the FAI. And that was a massive turning point for this team. And we're only 6 years on from that, so it just shows how much has changed since then. And things did improve once they took that stand. They never went on strike in the end. In September 2019, Vera Pauw, who's a former Dutch international manager, she was appointed manager of the squad. In 2021, the team had negotiations with the FAI, which were led by the now captain, Katie McCabe, and with the support of Seamus Coleman from the men's team. They negotiated equal pay for international duty, which was a huge achievement that some other women's teams around the world they're still fighting for.
Unbelievable.
And then the team narrowly missed out on qualifying for the 2022 UEFA Women's Euros. But when it came to World Cup qualification, Ireland, they were in a group, a difficult group, with Sweden, who are ranked number three in the world, Finland, Slovakia and Georgia. They beat Georgia 20-0 over two legs. They drew with Sweden and they won against Finland away and at home and then against Slovakia away, and that got them to a playoff. And you might remember in October of last year, they played in Scotland in Hampden Park. And during that game, Ireland's goalkeeper Courtney Brosnan saved a penalty, and then Amber Barrett from Donegal scored the winning goal. And it was just days after that tragic explosion in Creaslet in Donegal. And there was this really memorable moment where she tugged the black armband to show that she was dedicating the goal to the victims of that blast. But when the final whistle blew in Hampden Park, they'd secured Ireland's first ever place in a Women's World Cup. And you can see just how far they've come since then.
I was at that Sweden game with the young one, and it was just, I couldn't believe the crowds, because it was the first time I'd been to a women's football game, and I was like, God, I don't ever remember this kind of support, you know what I mean? And RTÉ actually revealed back in October that it will broadcast the entire tournament. Has that level of coverage ever happened before?
No, it hasn't, but RTÉ have carried all of Ireland's qualifiers, and they've showed 31 games in the recent Women's Euros. And it's not just the Ireland games that are being shown. You mentioned they'll broadcast all the 64 World Cup games on the RTÉ Player. And you've some of the biggest names in Irish football coverage, like George Hamilton and Tony O'Donoghue, heading there to cover the games. Footballer Stephanie Roach and Claire Shine, they're also part of the team. And as you mentioned, your
Stephanie Roach, former Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, born Dancing with the Stars, also a footballer in her spare time.
I didn't know she was
so
a footballer.
She is going to be commentating on the games. And you mentioned you'll be handing over some of your programmes, I think two of the three games and there'll be full match commentary. So there's no excuse not to be following these games. And, you know, the real change in support for this team, I saw it a couple of weeks ago. I went out to an open training session they had in UCD, and there was 1,200 girls, little girls. It was 11 o'clock on a Friday morning, and they were all, should have been in school now. and they told me they'd been given permission from their teachers to be there. But one of the veterans of the squad, Diane Caldwell, she was looking at the crowd in amazement, and she was saying that the team would have struggled to get 1,200 people to any game, not in the not too, you know,
a
distant past.
Session.
So it just shows the interest that's grown, and the quality of the performance is a big part of that, but also the fact that they've been, you know, they fought for the rights, they've gotten more attention, and that's led them to qualify in the World Cup. And in terms of interest in the women's game, there's a company called Teneo, and they survey people's attitude for their sports and sponsorship index. And last year, it found a quarter of Irish people said the Fiera Pau's team were their team of the year, which is just amazing when this team would have been virtually unknown a couple of years ago. It also found 52% of Irish people said they'd watched women's sport either on TV or online in the last 12 months. And that was up from 46% in 2021. So you can see the rise. And you have to imagine if that survey is taken now, you know, for this year after the World Cup, that it'll be even bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
Our focus is, let's talk football, because our focus is very much on that first game against the host nation, Australia, which is a huge game for the squad. What do we know about the Australian side?
Well, they're a strong and difficult opponent. And just to put it in context, Ireland are ranked 22nd in the world and Australia are ranked 10th. This is their 8th World Cup.
Oh,
this is our first
experience.
They've made it to the quarterfinals 3 times. They also have a women's football superstar on their team called Sam Kerr. She's their all-time leading goal scorer and widely regarded as one of the best forwards in the whole world. And another one for the Irish audiences to watch is 20-year-old Mary Fowler. She plays for Man City. Her dad is Irish, from Ballymun, I believe.
Okay.
She's a dangerous striker who could cause us a lot of upset. So that first game is going to be really tough. And then after that, we fly across to the other side of Australia, to Perth. There's a huge Irish community there as well, so hopefully there'll be loads of support. But our opponents are Canada. Now, Canada, nobody thinks of Canada as a great footballing nation, but when it comes to women's football, they are, and they're the current Olympic champions. So that isn't an easy ask either. They've also got another superstar, Christine Sinclair. Now, they're in a long-running pay dispute, and we spoke about that with the Irish team earlier. That's escalated a little recently, as have many of the teams who are taking part in this World Cup. So, you know, there's a hope they might be a little bit distracted.
Let's hope they're completely distracted by the money, but perhaps
not. And then the last game in that group, we fly again back across Australia to Brisbane. We're playing Nigeria, and they're Africa's most successful women's football team. They've
been
to every single World Cup.
Okay.
So we're going to take it one match at a time. Getting out of this group would be a massive achievement for this team.
That's good to know.
It's the opportunity of a lifetime for all these players. So they're not going there to show up. You know, they will, you know,
do their best. And listen, they're going to be well supported though, aren't they? You know, they're in Australia.
Yeah.
There's millions of Irish people in Australia. Hopefully they all buy tickets.
You know, Australia are going to be massively supported. The Australian team, they're known as the Matildas, and they've been voted the most loved team in the whole of Australia. And there's huge interest in the women's game there. But Australia, they're also the co-hosts of this tournament with New Zealand. And that Ireland game, the opening game, is the very first game to be held in Australia. So it was due to take place in a stadium that had a capacity of 40,000. But such was the demand for tickets, it was moved to another stadium which has a capacity for 80,000. That's kind of unheard of in World Cup terms, to be moving stadiums. The match has been a sellout. It's very difficult for anybody involved to get a read on who's bought the tickets. Now, someone else has commented, Irish people's ability to buy and find tickets will stand well to them. The home team are obviously going to be well supported, but, you know, it's believed there could be tens of thousands of Irish people out there who bought tickets. And separately, there's about 2,000 fans from here estimated to be travelling. I've spoken to one couple who are going on their honeymoon. I've spoken to another mother and daughter from Sligo. They're, you know, they follow the women's team. They just want to be there. I've spoken to a gang of men from the London Irish Supporters Club, and they've gone to all the major football tournaments. So this, you know, was on their list. Many people are using it as a chance to link up with family out there. As you say, there's loads of expats living all over Australia. So the numbers aren't known until that day, but there's an Irish consul in Sydney, and they have hired in extra staff for the day. So you can imagine they're, you know, they're expecting to be dealing with way more Irish people than usual. But like, can you imagine 80,000 people packed into that stadium, Irish and Aussies?
It's crazy. And I'm pretty sure that the girls, you know, they've never played in front of that many in a stadium.
Yeah, Captain Katie McCabe, who's played for Arsenal, you know, played, I think it was 60,000 for the Champions League semi-final. But no, this is a big occasion for them. And, you know, going from small crowds of thousands of people, like this moment alone for each of those players is going to be, you know, the pinnacle of their career as they walk out there.
Let's talk about them, the players, a little now. Republic of Ireland manager Vera Pauw named her 23-player panel last week, which was a day of both joy and sorrow for the Irish players. Were there any shocks in that announcement?
There was a lot of talk in the run-up to this announcement about the heartbreak and the shattered dreams that would happen as a result of this announcement. And part of me listening to that wondered if people were making a bit more of the emotional side of this because we're talking about women here. But when the announcement came last week, there was a couple of surprise omissions. And talking to the players who were picked, I asked them how they felt about being picked, and none of them started out by talking about themselves. All of them started by saying, you know, that they were devastated for those who didn't make the plane. And I think it tells you a bit about the closeness of this group, that, you know, they've been through a lot together and they genuinely found it difficult to see some of their friends left behind. Aoife Mannion was one of those who was left out. She's come into the squad relatively recently and she plays for Man United. Now, she's brilliant, but she had a knee injury and it just wouldn't see her fit in time. Another one, and she's a long servant of this team, was Megan Campbell. She's almost 50 caps for Ireland and she's been with Liverpool until recently, but she was coming back from injury too, so she hasn't made it. Leanne Kiernan, she's a young Liverpool player. She's from Cavan. Very exciting prospect, but she's also coming back from an ankle injury. She didn't have enough game time to make it, but hopefully there'll be other World Cups for her. The biggest surprise was Jamie Finn. She plays for Birmingham City and she's played for Ireland since she was schoolgirl level. And she wasn't in the squad for what Vera Powell said was technical reasons. She will go on the plane and she'll be in reserved and can be subbed in. But she's been a constant presence in the campaign. So she was the big surprise about those who were left out.
Okay, so out of who are picked, the star players in the Irish squad that we need to be looking out for, who do you think that is?
The one name you will hear over and over and over and over again, Katie McCabe. Yeah. She's from Kildimanna in Dublin and she's one of 11 children in her family. She plays for Arsenal at the moment, as I was mentioning, and she played a key role in getting them to the Champions League semi-final this year in front of the 60,000 fans. She's the undisputed star of this team. She's a once in a generation player. She was made captain of the Ireland team at 21, the youngest ever person to be given the armband. And the then manager Colin Bell, he said he saw something in her and he wanted her to take it more seriously, and you can see the result of that because she's gone on to have a stellar professional career. She's grown into a real leader and she is the superstar of this squad. Denise O'Sullivan is another big figure. She's a Cork woman and she grew up playing street football with the boys in her local terrace in Cork City, and she recently got her 100th cap for Ireland. She plays football in the US Women's Super League for a team called North Carolina Courage, and she's played alongside and against some of the best players in the world because the USA has been the best team in women's football for a long time. Then there's Amber Barrett from Donegal, who we mentioned earlier put her name in the history books by scoring that goal in the World Cup. She's had a difficult year at club level, but she's really determined to make her mark. And then there's Niamh Fahey from Galway. She's 35, another long serving member of the squad, 100 caps. She played for Liverpool and she's recovered from injury. And last mention, Shamrock Rovers bingo cards out now. The youngest player in the group is Abby Larkin. She's from Ringsend and plays for Shamrock Rovers. She was born in 2005 and I was chatting to her last week and she has no memory of Ireland being in any World Cup. You know, Italia 90, USA 94 and Saipan 2002, all those big moments that we remember, she wasn't born for them. So she has no idea of the hysteria that these tournaments can generate. She only has a few caps, but she has shown enough promise to make it on the plane and she is one to watch.
Text in, says, Jen, just listen to this as I've booked my flight and match tickets. Cannot wait to cheer on the women in Oz. That's from Amanda. And finally, I just want to ask you, I mentioned previously there, I brought my daughter to a game in Tallaght Stadium because I just think it's so important for little girls and boys to see women's sport excelling on this kind of a stage. What do you think this World Cup will do for women's soccer and women's sport in Ireland in general?
Well, I don't know about your age. I'm just turned 40 and I remember Italia 90. Do you remember it well?
I do, unfortunately, yes.
I was 7 at the time. Yeah. And it's the very reason I became a football fan. And I remember the buntings in the window and the songs and the insanity when Ireland progressed and all the adults on the road running out the door and cheering and screaming and acting crazy. And we didn't know it then, but we were living through history. And, you know, I didn't get at the time that it was Ireland's first ever World Cup, that, you know, the significance of us making the quarterfinals. But I couldn't get enough of that joy and that excitement. And for all the little girls around this country, this tournament has the potential, whether they already play or not, to kind of hook them into the game. Around 1994, my dad started bringing me to see Shamrock Rovers, mark your bingo card again, when I was 11. So I've been supporting them for 30 years. And, you know, there would have been a time in the kind of 90s and noughties where I went to games and I was the only girl one of very few girls there. So there were also, you know, I'm sure when you grew up as well, there wasn't an awful lot of opportunities for little girls to play football. Now, I have a 6-year-old daughter. She's playing for our local team, Raheny United. So, you know, for all of those young girls now, they are seeing these role models, and there's a lot talked about these girls, you know, they spend a lot of time after matches. You would have seen that yourself in Tala, taking selfies, asking the kids, you know, what position do you play? And they're just, they're able to see a role model going to the World Cup. And, you know, they're seeing that this is possible. And, you know, there's this whole thing about, you know, if you can see it, you can be it. And it's just, I think it's a massive shift in football. And, you know, it's really a moment for the women's game. And we all now have a chance to be a part of it and hop on the bandwagon, as we do so well in this country.
We're very good at that.
And, you know, we get behind every sport, you know, from, you know, very niche Olympic sports and stuff like that. So I think maybe with just a little support from here, you know, and the level of support they might get in Australia, you know, this team is going out there against the odds, but perhaps that support might be enough to bring them a little bit further.
Samantha Liberari, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Samantha will be keeping us up to date on the World Cup and will join us again on Monday as we continue our extensive coverage in lead up to kickoff on July 20th. We're all very excited now. Amazing. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.